a place called heaven. Let me take a moment and give credit where credit is due. This message has been inspired into me from a book that I read, a book by Dr. Jeffries. And the reason I'm so impressed and use this reference, this resource, is because everything that Dr. Jeffrey says in this book, he backs up with Scripture. It is an opinion that he's giving. So some of the phrases that I'm going to use today, I have taken directly right out of his book. And I give him credit for it. So I'm here today to tell you all, heaven is a real place. If we accept the most basic definition of heaven, that it is the abode of the deity of God, and we can assume God is one true expert on this subject. I have had, probably fair to say, I've had more questions asked of me about heaven than any other subject. Heaven seems to be, the topic seems to be a mystery. I think maybe that is by design a little bit. But I also think that God wants us to have a complete understanding of what heaven really is, because he's given us this information in his holy book. The most definitive answer to the question about the reality of heaven is found in the book of John in chapter 14. I'm not going to read that today, but I am going to reference it several different times. And I just ask you to make a note of that so you can do this, reference this chapter in your personal devotions, along with a few other scriptures that I'm going to mention. Jesus assured his disciples with some of the most familiar words ever spoken. Though they couldn't immediately accompany him on his journey back to his Father, in due time Jesus would return and take them to heaven. I'm going to give you these three verses out of John 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believing in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you before I go to the place to prepare a place for you. Can you imagine how the disciples felt when he heard these words? When Jesus told the disciples about the Father's house, he didn't speak of a place that exists in the fantasy land of our minds. Jesus used language that describes a real location. And he also tells the disciples that I am going to prepare a place for you. So where is this place called heaven? To answer that question, we need to distinguish between the present heaven where God resides and the future heaven Jesus is constructing for us. The present heaven, sometimes called by theologians the intermediate state, is where Christians go immediately when they die to enjoy the presence of the Lord. As Paul describes, the future heaven is where all believers will one day spend eternity. And this future heaven is still under construction. It is the place Jesus is preparing for us now, and its final location may surprise you. The final location of the future heaven is right here on earth. So we hear about this all the time, or quite often anyway, about some people have already visited heaven. Do we believe this or do we not? What are near-death experiences? Well, usually experiences and sequences include the following. This is usually what happens to NDEs, near-death experience people. It is having the sensation of floating upward and viewing the scene around one's dead body. That's one of the visions NDEs have, most commonly. It is where they are meeting God. And Jesus and angels. It is encountering deceased loved ones and relatives and friends. It is where they see you in the story of one's life passing in review as if watching a movie. So it makes sense that those who have died and experienced the sensation of leaving their bodies and traveling to a world of peace and love would never be the same after that return to life on this side of the grave. I don't believe in near-death experiences. I don't believe they went to heaven and returned. I don't believe that they've seen all of these things that they see. Now, I'm not saying that it could be a dream. I don't know what these people experience. But I do not believe that they have a near-death experience because they didn't die. They had a near-death experience. Just because someone has had a life-changing experience, like NDEs, doesn't mean he or her experiences are real. But valid or not, no one can deny that near-death experiences are becoming increasingly popular. So we need to ask the question this morning, are near-death experiences biblical? I didn't find anywhere in the Bible that describes NDEs. When it comes to near-death experiences, we need to think biblically. We need to find out what God's Word tells us about this, if anything at all. This involves determining whether an NDE corroborates or contradicts Scripture. Or rather, it glorifies God or maybe themselves. Near death isn't that. The Bible was clear on this point. Each person is destined to die once. And after that comes judgment. We read about that in Hebrews chapter 9. Near-death experiences are just that. They are near death. Do Christians immediately go to heaven when they die? Without a doubt. The thought of death can fill us with terror and dread. However, knowing our destinations when we depart this life can dramatically diminish that understandable fear. A seminarian professor, Howard Hendricks, said this: "We are not in the land of the living on our way to the land of the dying. Instead, we are in the land of the dying in our way to the land of the living." How true is that? Once we pass through this door into the afterlife, our choice is eternally fixed. Eternally fixed. An epitaph on a century-old tombstone in an Indiana cemetery served as a stark reminder of the certainty of death for all of us. Excuse me. It reads, "Pause, stranger, when you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be." So prepare for death and follow me. Well, there was an unknown visitor that walked by this tombstone and read this, and after a few moments of contemplation, scrawled a reply: "To follow you, I'm not content until I know where you went." Huh? Is that powerful? "Rather, you will die is not up for debate. You will die. I will die. The crucial question is this: where are we going after we die? There is a present heaven. It's called the third heaven. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 2, where God dwells in a future heaven that is being constructed for us as described in Revelation 21. The present heaven is the temporary heaven, while the future heaven is the permanent heaven. What people call the third heaven is where we go when we die, awaiting for the permanent heaven, the future heaven, with Jesus Christ. The present heaven is temporary, while the future heaven is permanent. It is a great hope and comfort to know that at death, the spirit of every believer is immediately ushered into the presence of God in the third heaven. Our body remains, but our spirit goes immediately to the third heaven, and there we reside until the end of time. We have Jesus' promise. However, the most complete explanation of what happens to a believer is the moment he or she dies is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In other words, while our bodies are here on earth, we are not in the presence of Christ in heaven. The third heaven is real, but only our temporary home. Our body does not go to the third heaven, only our spirit, until the new heaven and the new earth are completed all Christians who die are immediately transported into the presence of God. One interesting question people often ask is about the physical state of those Christians who died before the rapture. What is their state? Are they simply disembodied spirits ushered into the presence of the Lord, or do they receive some kind of temporary bodies until they receive their permanent new bodies at the rapture? God created us, body, soul, and spirit, not just soul and spirit. There has never been a time when we existed without a physical body when God breathed life into us. When God did that, He gave us a body. We also exist in bodily form rather than as disembodied spirits in the new heaven and the new earth. I'm jumping ahead a little bit there, but I wanted to put that in there so we don't have any confusion. These made for eternity bodies will be given to us at the rapture of the church. Did you get that? These heavenly bodies we will receive when we all gather in the sky with Jesus at the rapture. The reasoning goes, if we have already existed in bodily form in the present and will also inherit physical bodies in the future, why would we exist only in spirit form during the relatively brief span of time between our death and the rapture? Well, I searched, and I did not definitely find the answer to that question. But I found things that Jesus said, and I found things that Paul has written. I found several of the things that indicate that that temporary body stays in the grave, and our spirit is with the Lord in the third heaven. Here's the truth. When we die, either we immediately experience the eternal bliss of being in God's presence in the third heaven, or we immediately begin experiencing the unending horror of being separated from God. Now, the reason I put that in there, because I believe, based on what I have read and researched, there is no purgatory. There is no temporary place that we go to before we get to hell. It is immediately. It is within a snap of a finger. And as Scripture says, it is with the blink of an eye. It's true that at some future time after death, Christians will change location from the third heaven to the new heaven and the new earth. So I need to put this in here this morning. If you wait until the moment you die to choose your eternal destination, you will have waited 1 second too long. It's important that before we die, we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. It's important that when we die, we immediately see and feel and hear the presence of Jesus Christ in the third heaven. So, I get this answer, get this question quite often also. What will we be doing in heaven? One myth says heaven will be monotonous. I've read this. I've heard people say this or ask this. It's just going to be boring. That all we do is praise God. A 24/7 church service is going to be boring. Well, the last thing you ever experience in the future heaven will not, the last thing that you could think you would experience is a monotonous, boring presence. Heaven is not monotonous. Heaven is not boring. The presence of Jesus Christ and the Father God is not boring. It is not monotonous. We will not be bored praising God. And we will not be praising God 24/7 in heaven. Does that grab you? We will have... I'll come back to that. I know it's further down here. Some people believe or are convinced that no matter how exciting the activities of heaven may be, doing the same thing over and over for eternity will become monotonous. But the problem isn't heaven for people that believe that. The problem is people. It is us. The activities of heaven will never get monotonous, even if we do them over and over. Why is that? Because we no longer inhabit an aging body. A body that grows tired or lives in a sin-infected world that makes life tedious. That does not exist in heaven. Another myth is heaven will be one long church service. While worshiping God will be a central activity in heaven, it will not be our only activity. Christians in the new heaven and the new earth will worship God during special designated times while being involved in other activities. We're going to have things to do in heaven. We're going to have jobs in heaven. One of the most remarkable aspects of our worship in heaven will be seeing Jesus face to face. Our response to that experience will be unlike anything we've ever known on earth. There's another reason I don't believe in NDEs. When we see Jesus, we are changed. We are like we have never been before. When NDEs give us their experiences, they come back to earth just as they were. That is not what seeing Jesus is all about. The worship in heaven is not going to be some soft, contemplative, private experience. We will add our voice to that ground-shaking, heavenly chorus of angels shouting, "Hallelujah, praise be to our God. We have good music here. We are moved by the music that we have here. How great thou art, we sang this morning. It gave me chills. But the music we have in heaven, I believe How Great Thou Art will be one of them. But it will be sang with more glory and more enthusiasm and more praise to the Holy God than any other song that we sing while we're here on earth. But there's more to our heavenly worship than size and volume. In heaven, no one will merely mouth the words or go through the motions of worship. All of us will sing with our hearts ablaze because we are in the presence of Jesus Christ. You won't see anybody in heaven with their lips moving and no sound coming out. You won't see that. Worship in heaven will be spontaneous. It will be genuine and it will be exhilarating. Praise will not be something we will be assigned or commanded to do. It will be natural. Some people come to church every Sunday because that's the way they were raised. Some people come to church every Sunday if there's nothing better to do. Not in heaven. We are going to anxiously wait and anticipate the worship time that we have because we are in the presence of Jesus Christ and we stand with Him face to face. Can I get an amen? Amen. Since our lives that are in the new heaven and the new earth are simply extensions of our lives now, we shouldn't be surprised that God plans for us to continue working in the new heaven and the new earth. We shouldn't be surprised at that. We're going to have duties to do. We're going to have chores. Heaven will not be a place of eternal retirement. You know why? You can't golf in heaven because the balls will fall through the clouds. I'm just picking on you. I thought it was time for a chuckle. Don't think heaven will be all work and no fun. Beyond worshiping God and working for God, the Bible indicates at least three other activities that will occupy our time in the new heaven. We were made to live in community. And that need for other people will not disappear in the new heaven. But in the new heaven and the new earth, we will experience the most intimate and fulfilling relationships imaginable. Gone will be the suspicious, impure motives and selfishness that taint even the best relationships that we experience now. We will enjoy perfect fellowship with not only with those we already know, but also with those heroes of our faith that we have already read about. The question I get is, will we know each other in heaven? Yes. Nothing more I can say about it. Yes. But our relationship will be a little different. it will be better. Because there's no jealousies. There's no little innuendos. There's none of these things that exist that have a tendency to affect our relationships. And the other reason is yes, because Jesus Christ said we would. We're going to know other people. We will sit riveted to the stories of Noah and his experience during the great flood. We will be able to listen to David's victory over the giant Goliath and the surprising discovery of Jesus' followers on that first Easter Sunday morning. We're going to talk to these people. What did you think when you first seen Jesus after the resurrection? How did Jesus treat you? It goes on and on and on. From our first day in heaven, and for every day thereafter, we will walk the streets of the new heaven and the new earth with astonishment. Think about this. We're in heaven. We're visiting with each other. And you glance over there. Oh my goodness, there goes Jeremiah. Oh, look over there is Eve. I can't believe it. There's Paul talking with the Wesley brothers. Maybe we ought to think about bringing our autograph book. Huh? It's going to be a magnificent experience. In the new heaven and the new earth, we will not exist as sanctified versions of Casper the Friendly Ghost. Instead, just as we possess physical bodies in this world, we will also exist and relate to one another in physical bodies in the world, in the next new world. How do I know that? Consider how God designed us. We have always had bodies. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us so. I get so excited. Because heaven is a place more magnificent than you could ever imagine. It's a place where every heartache will be erased and every dream will be fulfilled. It's a place reserved for those who have received God's forgiveness through faith in Christ. So I hope this morning has helped you a little bit about what we are promised. And what we will experience when we leave this earth. Jesus Christ is there today, building a mansion for you and you and you and each and every one that has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Our job while we're still here is a couple of things. One, go forth, make disciples of all men. We do that through asking the Holy Spirit to guide us and help us through. The other is to live our life in faith. Heaven is a place reserved for those who have received God's forgiveness. It is a place called heaven. All of God's people said, amen. Thank you.